and get that ice cream. That'd be worth it. That'd be worth it. Right. Just before he called me forward, my Bible fell off of the pew and all of its contents went everywhere, so I had to kind of get myself back together again here. As good as I can for my age and weight. One never knows, you know. Andrew, you like titles on those little discs back there, and you note takers like them too. Let's call this one, What About Tomorrow? We can sing that chorus, couldn't we?
You sang it Ladies' Bible Study last Friday.
You just sang it Friday. I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. All right. Well, that's what we want to look at for our, not chorus, but that message title, and I trust it'll be a blessing. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you that all of our tomorrows are known by you. We thank you and praise you that we can trust you. We thank you that you never send us out to the unknown on our own, but whatever comes our way, as a child of yours, you are there beside us. Your Holy Spirit is living within us to see us through whatever might take place. I pray your blessing this evening. I pray through this portion in the book of Job that you might encourage our hearts as we read this account of a man who had a lot of questions regarding what was going on in his life. May you encourage and bless us with truth in your word. In your name we pray. Amen. Wouldn't it be something if we knew about tomorrow? Now, the weatherman is saying maybe some rain, snain, whatever here that we might get a little bit. But wouldn't it be something? How many of you wish you knew for sure about tomorrow? Well, I'm not going to be tempted to raise my hands. I think that is one of God's gracious acts to us, to not let us know what tomorrow might bring. Why do you say that, Pastor? Because if we knew what the next day would bring, you talk about having trouble sleeping at nights now. If you knew for sure this is happening tomorrow. John in James chapter 4, come now, you that say today or tomorrow, we're going to do this or we're going to do that. Praise the Lord, we don't know. I do know that sometimes we kind of wish we had some answers about now, though. Isn't that right? I don't want to know about tomorrow, but oftentimes I find myself in the midst of something and I find myself asking, I just wish I knew what all of this is about. Right now, I wish I knew how this was going to turn out. If ever a man had a cause for some questions about what was happening or what was going to happen, don't you think it would have to be Job? Let's look at some helpful guidelines about tomorrow. And our text is going to be Job 23. I do have some outline here for you note takers. And for my note takers in the crowd, point number one, let's look at unanswered questions. Unanswered questions. In Job 21, let's look at verse 3. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Look at verse 8. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive or see him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. We find in these verses the account of Job's desire to, quote unquote, reach God for some answers. I think it's safe to say we have all thought things like that at times in our Christian life. As we have been going through perhaps difficult times, perhaps challenging times, perhaps maybe never before have we ever faced times like this. And like Job, we cry out and we say, I just wish I knew where I might find him. I'd like to sit down and talk with him. There in verse 3. Knowing the story of Job and what has taken place in the previous 23 chapters, can you understand why Job would be uttering words like these? Job was living it and not knowing how the story was going to end. We can pick up our Bibles anytime we want. And who doesn't appreciate the book of Job? It's sometimes a challenge to us as we try to picture ourselves. I wonder how I would have responded in a situation like that. But we know what was behind it. We know who was behind everything Job was experiencing, but he didn't. And God had not seen fit to tell him what was behind it or who was behind it. And so as we think about this, I think we can understand why Job is saying what he's saying here. I just wish I knew where I might find him. I'd come into his presence. I'd come and I'd sit down right beside him. I would order or present my cause before him. I wish I just could spill it all out to him. I'm sure he would have. As much as we would like some answers to some of our conflicts, we, like Job, have to accept the fact that we can't always get the answers to what is happening in our lives. That's a fact. We can't always get the answers. At this point, sometimes it's pretty tough to just hang in there, especially if what we are going through is a challenge, it's difficult, it's unpleasant. It seems like, in his case, we often like to use the word, it's unfair. As we stop and think about how that one day Job got up and he had everything. And by nightfall, all he had was what? His wife. He had lost everything. He had lost all of his livestock. He had lost all 10 of his children. And no answers. And we find that sometimes we just have to accept the fact that we can't always get them. And so it is. It's hard to hang in there. Since he can't get any answers, then it seems like the thing he ought to do is give up and turn on God, right? Isn't that kind of what seems like the, boy, God, if this is what I get for being faithful to you and serving you, some would think that way, but that was not what Job thought. Instead of despair, we find a declaration number two of unshakable confidence. He had all kinds of unanswered questions. He said, I look in verses 8 and 9, I'm looking all around, forward, back, left, right. I can't find God. I can't find any kind of an answer from him. And rather than throwing in the towel, he declares his unshakable confidence. Verse 10. After he had said how that I can't find him anywhere I turn, his word of confidence is this, but he knoweth the way that I take. As we look at this, there are this verse of triumph, there are at least three special things to consider in that 10th verse. I've mentioned the first already. A. But he knoweth the way that I take. We often speak of the omniscience of God, that God knows everything. Is that true or not? It is true. Paul in Romans 11, 33 and 34. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? It's true. God does know everything. But of great interest to Job and us, God knows not only everything, but it says he personalized this. He, God, knoweth the way I take. It's not just that he is aware of what's going on in our world, but what a personalization Job gave God in this word of confidence. He knows all about me. My favorite psalm of all 150 of them is Psalm 139. I never get tired of reading it. And as we think of that 139th, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. You are acquainted. You compass my path and my lying down. You're acquainted with all my ways, and there's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, you know it all together. And that psalm continues on how much God knows, how that he knows our thoughts before we think them. He knew our body parts before he created them and put them together. In fact, it said he had our parts all written down. How about that? You know, I've never had the option to pick out a brand new car, go to a dealer, and specify what options I would or would not like on that car that is yet to be built. A lot of people do that, and that's great if they can do that. I don't expect ever that I'll have that option. But just think, before God put you and me together inside of our mothers, he specifically wrote down, he selected the parts and the pieces for you and for me. That's knowledge of us brothers and sisters. And as we think of what Job is declaring here, he says, I wish I knew where to find him. I turn left and right. I look forward, back, up, down. I can't find him, but I know this. I know he knows the way I take. He knows what he is doing with regards to me. Along that same line, Hosea 14:9b says, just jot that reference, for the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them. We don't know the answers, but God does, and we can trust him. As we think about this, and I think, I don't know what you might be going through, you might be thinking, man, how did you know, Pastor, that this has been an extremely difficult week? How did you know that this is what I needed? I don't know that. The Holy Spirit knows. I don't know what you're going through. We don't know oftentimes what we're going through. But God knows. And I trust that will be an encouragement to you. Regardless of what situation you find yourself in, or what kind of ground you are standing upon. The first point that Job says in this 10th verse is, he knows the way that I take. He knows what's happening. B, in that 10th verse, when he hath tried me or tested me, as I look at that, I see in this statement, in Job's heart and mind, he so trusts God that he sees an end of this. He doesn't throw up his arms in despair and say, life is going to be terrible for me from now on. But instead, with confidence, he says, I wish I could sit down, talk with him, get some answers. I can't, but that still doesn't deter me being confident of the fact that he knows me, and this is limited when he hath tried me. When he has tested me, God is doing something in my life. We often lose sight of past blessings during trials, and we begin to look at our present circumstances as if they are permanent. We need to stop and realize God's faithfulness to us. Job saw this thing as coming to an end someday. And I don't know what you might be facing, And I don't know what God might be doing in your life. But I do know that God knows, and He doesn't meaninglessly, that's not a word. Is it? Meaninglessly? I got the nod. Okay, she says that's a word. Seems like meaningly, but whatever.
I don't think so.
Anyway, God does not just waste His time and cause life miserable for us without purpose. He knows what He's doing. He has a purpose. Yes. And as we think of this, Job says, I see this coming to an end. I don't understand what He's doing. God knows, and I know it's going to come to an end. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18, Paul said, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, you say, well, that's an oxymoron. Paul refers to the trials and the difficulties as momentary and light. How can he do that? He says they work for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Here's the answer. While we look not at the things which are seen, that's what we're experiencing right now. Why is this happening to me? What did I do? How come everything is falling apart? That's the now. Paul said what we need to do is don't look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are what? Not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, temporary. Here today, gone tomorrow. But the things which are not seen, what are those? Those are eternal. And so as we think of this, Job said, I can't find him, I can't sit down and talk with him, but I know he knows the way, what's happening to me, and I see this as a trial. And so, it doesn't matter how long the trial or the test. The third thing, or C, in this verse, he speaks of God's design. He says, I shall come forth as gold. God's plan. God's plan, he says, is to make me better, to improve me through the test that He has planned for me. One of the greatest testimonies of trust in the Lord has to do with Ron Hamilton and a song that he wrote after the doctors had to remove a cancerous eye years and years ago. He woke up the next morning after surgery to discover that they had removed that eye that was full of cancer. That's why he wears the patch. And God gave him the song. We often sing it. Put your Bibles down. And Jerry, would you come to the piano? And we're going to sing number 680. This is the song that God gave him and he wrote with such confidence. When God is finished with me, I'm going to come forth as gold. 680. Peace that God gave Job centuries ago. Ron Hamilton had that same peace in his heart, and God gave him the words of this song and he was able to write it down for your benefit and ours. We don't always know what God is doing, but he knows, he makes no mistakes, and he has a purpose in it, and when he's through, we will come forth as gold. And that is exactly what Job says here in confidence, that third thing with that 10th verse. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Job had many unanswered questions, but his confidence in the Lord was unshakable. Finally, we see an unusual testimony, number 3 for you note takers, in verses 11 and 12. Unusual testimony. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. What's the unusual testimony, Pastor? The testimony of, in the midst of all of the unanswered questions that Job had, he could testify of his faithfulness to the Lord. He could testify of his obedience. He could testify of his sense of values. I haven't turned back from his word. I value the words from his lips more than even my necessary food. As we sum this up tomorrow, did Job get all of his questions answered in this portion of Scripture? He certainly didn't, did he? I don't know the way gotten any questions answered that you might have tonight, but I trust that you have given some serious thought to looking to the Lord, not at the circumstances that we are presently in, but like Job, turning to the Lord with confidence, with thankfulness, trusting Him, knowing that we can always count on Him. I close with 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10, and he says this. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And Paul responded to that by saying, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, these trials, these hardships, that the power of God may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. He knows what he's doing, and we can trust him even though we don't know about tomorrow. Let's stand and we'll be dismissed in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the encouragement of this portion of Scripture. The words of this man who was going through extreme, unknown circumstances. He didn't have any idea. We have the story. We have the account. We know what was behind it, why he was going through it. But Father, what we praise you for is Job's faith in you. In the midst of all of the unknown answers to questions he had. Oh, that we might so trust you in the midst of all of the unknowns and the things that we can't give answers to. Strengthen our faith in you through this familiar portion tonight, as we gather for a few minutes around some refreshment, we pray that we might enjoy visiting one with another for a while. And then as folks head home, we pray that you would take each one safely. We thank you for this. Thank you for the provision and even the enjoyment it brings to us. In your name we pray. Amen.